The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 14th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, legislators in Washington are edging closer to renewing the presidential TPA, otherwise known as Fast Track, Trade Promotion Authority. And for the third time, a disaster aid package has passed through the House of Representatives. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in this half hour. And then we'll hear about the need today and in the future for crop scientists. Demand there is definitely outstripping supply. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Would you like to TiVo our agricultural broadcasts? You can do so with AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. Listen to all our shows at your convenience. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. Follow the simple instructions and subscribe to the shows of your choice, the pre-opening, opening, and closing market reports, and Commodity Week. AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. It's your marketing advantage.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat contract at 480, well, you're going to have to forgive me for a second. Somebody just kicked me back off the system, so we'll have to bring those numbers back up and get them to you in a moment. In the mean space, we'll talk with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, about the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Somebody kicked me back off the system, and the numbers disappeared on me right in the middle of that. Do you have how the futures finished for the afternoon to begin with?
May corn futures went off the board at 12 noon today, down 3 cents at 358. July corn down 6 at 363 and a quarter. New crop December down 3 and a half at 371. May soybeans went off the board up 12 and a quarter at 762 and a quarter. July beans were up 8 and 3 quarters at 770 and a half. New crop November beans up 8 and 3 quarters at 799 and a half. December soybean meal is up $3.90 at $2.15.60. December bean oil up 9 at $35.69. July wheat futures were up 3.5 cents a bushel at $4.96.5. On the Mercantile Exchange, June cattle were down 20 at $93.20. August feeders up 37 at $113.22. June hogs were down 47 at $74.50. The July pork bellies down 22 at $104.47.
It sounds like you do that on a regular basis somewhere. I bet you do. Hey, let's talk about what these markets actually look like. I was taking a look at some of the charts just before we came on the air and looking at individually the meal and the oil charts. There's been a lot of discussion about bean oil in the recent weeks. And as you look at those, you can go back, I think it's 2004. It was the last time either of those really hit a big top up in them. About 35.18, I think, for the nearby lead option contract in the bean oil pit. And I'm wondering what it is that has made bean oil, you think, rally. While the bean meal, which is up 5.10 for the day, has been pretty steadily lagging behind it.
Yeah, meal's up. Sort of taken a back seat. It's been the short side of the spread. Technically, we did record some lows here in the meal late April. these got close to that $200 benchmark and stimulated some demand fundamentally. Also, as beans moved higher here and oil higher, sort of pulled the meal with it. Meal's got its work cut out. If you're an end user or a feeder needing some meal, I would definitely use the move back toward the $200 benchmark to gather some extended coverage because it could very easily fall these beans and oil higher. But all the glamour's in the bean oil. And when you look at the world situation, even though we've got high oil stocks, the stocks use ratio is relatively tight. We're at 7% in oil. You got to go clear back to the mid-70s to see that type of a stocks use ratio. Palm oil is probably the culprit, too. Palm oil stocks use ratio is approaching 8%. You got to go clear back to 1973 to see that type of a situation. As part of this biofuel craze, Europe's probably taking the lead there. Rapeseed oil, a lot of their oil products are higher. So as long as crude oil and this energy market stays hot, you got to look for the vegetable oil, oil market to stay hot too. We're approaching some lofty levels in the bean oil, but technically it's strong, and there's no reason why December bean oil can't push more up to this 40, 42 cents.
Is this behind the push in the beans higher then as well, do you think?
It's going to pull the beans along. We're crushing for oil, and in order to get the oil, you got to buy the beans, and producers are tight holders of beans. Brazil's pretty well done with their harvest. Well, South America's finished their harvest. They're about 62% sold, so in order to jar those loose, you're going to have to bid higher. Also, we're starting to hear word that China's in the world market again, so they're shopping for some beans. Then, two, to tie the two together is you've got palm oil and bean oil relatively just about the same price. So therefore, the ball's in the bean oil court now where users will be more aggressive buyers of the bean oil. So there's things gelling there that gives warrant to ownership of oil and beans. Fundamentally, back down to the farmer scale, reason to own beans is we're going to be short acres, and that's going to cut into supply side to meet this big demand base we've built. When you look at the ending stocks number the USDA put out on Friday there, we're going to slash our ending stocks by 50%. And when you throw a little weather in there, if you just take 2 to 3 bushels off, you could see bean ending stocks drop to a historically tight level of the 120 million bushel category. And that would put beans in a very, very explosive situation.
Yeah, you say slash to about 50%, 610 million for ending stocks at the end of this marketing year. By the time we get to this fall, by the time we get to next fall, USDA says ending stocks for soybeans will be 320. Of course, you're suggesting something potentially much lower than that could happen.
Depending on yield, correct. When you look at the yield we're looking at, a little over 41 bushels the acre. We've been hanging at that area there, but if we would run into a situation in the past, a little bit of weather, there's no reason why yield couldn't drop down to 38 bushels an acre. We get in a real tight situation like in 2003, yield was only 33.9 bushels an acre. So the risk is not having the 41 bushel yield.
Do you think, as you look out over this landscape with the bean oil rallying, the bean meal staying behind, that there's an effect there from possibly DDGs and their availability from the ethanol side of this equation?
Yeah, when you look at the protein side and what's going to be available, they've got some work. Is going to be competitive on the meal side. The market's going to take care of itself over time. And meal's just going to be one that's probably going to be a struggle here for a while.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether, and I know they don't replace one-to-one for sure, but I was just wondering whether this meal was might be coming under pressure because of some of the DGGs that are available. And that they might be replacing some of that demand for meal. And that might be one of the reasons that it would be lagging behind the rise in the oil. Or maybe it's just simply that the funds have decided that the oil is someplace they want to be on future biodiesel direction and development across the globe.
Yeah, it's definitely getting competitive feeds. It's going to be a thorn for some time. But no, the glamour is in the bean oil. That's where the funds want to be. You know, they spun the wheat market here a year ago. They rode the corn market for what it's worth, and still in the corn market. Don't get me wrong, but you got to have something new and something that's undervalued that's got potential, and it's the beans and the bean oil.
And then let's talk a little bit about the corn market for the day. Managed some gains and then finished off for the day.
We saw some huge gains Friday. It's overbought on a smaller term scale. When you look at the big picture here, what happened Friday sort of opens the door for further strength. But short term, and here we went to the gap area. We left on the daily charts here. We basically regained about half what we lost there, so it's due to back and fill. We'll see what the planting progress says this afternoon. A lot of the trades in the 75-76% complete area. But I think planting progress is going to take the back seat. What's more important is the weather, and that's where the weather guys are going to become quite popular here as we move through the summer. But the main thing in the corn is demand. Last week we saw South Korea step up and buy a huge amount of corn. Egypt came in and bought over 120,000 tons of corn. So in these price breaks in here, we feel the end user feels there's good value in corn to be bought on setbacks.
Anything to talk about on the livestock side?
Well, the cattle complex, the discount, the cash, Mother's Day weekend clearance went fairly well. They're wrapping up some last-minute Memorial Day weekend featuring, gathering some inventory for that. We'll see how the end of the month goes here. That'll be the main thing in the meat sector as we get through this cookout demand here as we go into early summer.
We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on Monday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, for the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer, here at the radio session, says tonight in northwestern Illinois, there'll be mostly clear skies before midnight and then increasing cloudiness. A chance of some showers and thunderstorms arriving toward daybreak. Elsewhere, mostly clear, lows this evening from 59 and 65. Tomorrow, northwestern Illinois, cloudy with some showers and thunderstorms through early afternoon, then clearing late. Elsewhere in Illinois and northwestern Indiana, increasing cloudiness, some showers, a few thunderstorms arriving by early afternoon. In eastern and southern Indiana, mostly sunny during the morning, then increasing cloudiness and thunderstorms arriving during the late afternoon. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, Congress and the Bush administration have agreed on some details for pending bilateral trade deals, including strengthening labor and environmental standards. The agreement could ultimately smooth the way for broader trade measures, such as renewing the president's soon-to-expire fast-track or trade promotion authority. In the short term, lawmakers say the deal will help provide broad bipartisan support for pending deals with Peru and Panama. However, the agreement will not ease concerns over pending trade deals with Colombia and South Korea. The House has passed legislation that would provide $3.5 billion for producers hurt by weather-related disasters. It's the third time the House has approved ag disaster payments. The latest bill covers 2005, 2006, and part of 2007. Kansas Congressman Jerry Morin says lawmakers have been considering disaster aid for far too long.
We've been talking about disaster assistance for our farmers and ranchers for a long, long time. This legislation is similar to earlier passed legislation, but is no longer included in the bill requiring withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq, something that certainly would have been vetoed by President Bush. Passage has been my number one priority for agriculture in 2007. Although good news, the legislation must still be passed by the U.S. Senate and signed by the President.
The White House is threatening to veto the measure. President Bush says the measure is, and this is a direct quote, unnecessary and unwarranted. A Montana senator has introduced legislation that would give risk management tools to producers who grow non-food crops for ethanol or biodiesel. Democrat John Tester's bill calls for a pilot program to make federal crop insurance available for experimental alternative energy crops. The measure appears aimed primarily at wild flax, an oilseed Montana producers are considering for use as a feedstock for biodiesel. Tester's bill would authorize up to $15 million over 5 years. A group of experts speaking to the Chesapeake Bay Commission say the mid-Atlantic states could be leading producers of alternative fuels as feedstock moves beyond corn. Experts say the region will have to balance the effort of new farming industries with renewed conservation efforts. And a survey of energy industry executives say declining oil reserves are absolutely a concern and the trend is not reversible. The survey also found that renewable energy sources will not be a viable alternative to conventional fuels before 2010. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free. Stunningly good. I can say that out loud because Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, writes the bulk of that letter, does a great job. You should sign up today at willag.org. Just hit subscribe. By the way, while you're there, you can download a few of those MP3 files and listen to some of the things that you may not have heard during the day. The pre-opening and the opening market report, along with the closing market report and commodity week, are all at willag.org. Well, up next, you know, careers in agriculture, especially crop scientists, are taking off. That's where demand is outstripping supply. The boom in the ag industry is pushing salaries higher. Fred Kolb at the University of Illinois says this is because there are not enough college-educated crop scientists to meet the demands of the growing life sciences companies like Syngenta, Pioneer Hybrid International, and Monsanto.
That's definitely true. Over the past few years, we're seeing salaries continue to increase. So the supply and demand is actually working on salaries. And as far as an advanced degree, there's good, strong demand for students with a BS degree as well as MS and PhD levels. And what a master's degree or a PhD would mean is that the student coming out with a master's or PhD obviously would expect a higher salary and start at a higher level than someone with a BS. But I would emphasize that there are demand for students at all three of those levels.
Kolb helps to recruit students for the University of Illinois Department of Crop Sciences and the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. He says not only is there demand today for college-trained individuals with expertise in agriculture, but that it looks like demand will continue to grow.
We know that several of the companies are expanding their research programs, and we know that several companies are looking to add 400 or more employees over the next couple of years. And so we don't expect this demand to drop off. We think it's going to continue to be strong for a while.
Kolb says while all the data is not in just yet for the current crop of ag students from his department, it looks like they'll average a $45,000 starting salary with a BS in crop sciences. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Monday afternoon, time to take a look at the cash grain market. Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the basis levels in Champaign County over the past week. Kind of a wild ride.
Well, it's been firming up on the corn side. A little bit less movement coming off the farms as producers get the crop in the ground and don't really focus on moving it out of the bins. So might be a good chance to take care of locking in some old crop corn basis. Soybean basis has still been lagging, and I wouldn't anticipate that soybean basis getting much better unless we come into some sort of shortage, and it seems like there's enough beans left out there that there's not a lot of hope for them.
As the drills and the soybean planters roll, it looks like there's an awful lot of dust going in Champaign County. What do you hear about conditions from farmers?
It's very dry right in our dry area, and we could certainly benefit from the rain that's supposed to come through tomorrow. And just talked with a producer, Southern Illinois, and he said they had anywhere from a quarter inch up to 2 inches in spots. So they got a little bit of rain last Thursday that we really would have liked to have had, and it seemed to kind of fall apart along I-70, and then as it came across the Mississippi River. It's been doing that every time, so hopefully that pattern changes pretty quick, because the beans that are in the ground right now that have not emerged could certainly use a little moisture.
What do you make of the bean of the rally in the bean meal and the bean oil?
Well, it certainly seems warranted in the soybeans if it is to follow the oil. And aside from that, there's been a little bit more Chinese business thrown our way that certainly doesn't hurt things in the bean market. And if this palm oil shortage truly does exist and biodiesel truly is the next energy boom, it looks like soybean oil should stand to hold on.
Tell me a little bit more about what you've heard, if anything, about the Chinese purchases that seem to have gone through the system today.
Yes, well, one trader put it to me that said it was more of a diplomatic move than anything, and we're getting ready to go into some trade talks with China. So could be true, but at the same time, there's an awful lot of people over there and an awful lot going on in their economy, and they should be able to afford to start buying more of our beans. And another factor weighing into that is certainly the price of the U.S. dollar versus other commodities, and with the South American harvest coming on, or just finishing up rather, makes our soybeans look fairly cheap in the world market. So I think we've got some good days ahead for bean exports.
And we'll round up with this question. How did you and the folks at the Andersons view the WASDE numbers released Friday morning?
Well, not really surprised that they went ahead and lowered the overall yield estimate for the United States. That was an interesting one, and as far as carryout goes, I'm not surprised with any of the numbers.
And your bids for the day there at the Andersons?
Cash corn is $3.50, fall delivery $46, cash beans $7.36, fall $7.74, and July wheat $4.56.
We sure appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Wyatt or any of the other analysts that you heard on the closing market report or the pre-opening and the opening market reports again, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post most of the ag programming not too awfully long after it airs on the radio station. In fact, one program, Commodity Week, we post before it airs. That's always there by about 6 o'clock on Friday evenings. It's at willag.org. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A federal grant that helps administer a mentoring program for Champaign and Urbana schools is running out. The Champaign Unit 4 School Board tonight will discuss whether it can pay for coordinator positions without that funding. CU one-to-one mentoring coordinator Brenda Kester says both districts have seen tremendous growth in support for tutors and other volunteers the last few years, with more than 200 pairs of mentors and students in Champaign alone. Kester says she remains hopeful, as several school board members and administrators have indicated support of continuing the program on some level. Federal prosecutors in Miami contend former Chicago gang member Jose Padilla and two co-defendants were key players in a North American terror support cell. In opening statements, Assistant U.S. Attorney Brian Frazier told jurors today that the cell provided military equipment, money, and Islamist fighters to Al-Qaeda and other extremist groups around the world. The three have pleaded not guilty. Jurors today have begun deliberating on whether an appliance installer convicted last week in the Brown's chicken and pasta slayings in suburban Chicago should get the death penalty. Just before the panel withdrew, prosecutors argued that Juan Luna should receive the death penalty because the 1993 murders of seven people were cold and calculated. Defense attorney Richard Stevens told jurors the state has to prove Luna is eligible beyond a reasonable doubt. Governor Mitch Daniels has three names to consider to replace the lone Republican on the Indiana Court of Appeals. Judge Patrick Sullivan will step down in August after nearly 38 years on the job. A judicial nominating committee has suggested three candidates, all county judges. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Monday afternoon by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. We're here and around the globe. Hi, Mark.
Hello there, Todd.
Farmers in Champaign County sure would like to have a little rainfall. Can you supply it?
Well, Todd, it looks like they will have an opportunity for rainfall tomorrow as a frontal boundary crosses the state, let alone the entire Midwest. It looks like specifically the front will be crossing through during the afternoon, so that will be the one opportunity really for all this week here for significant rainfall across eastern Illinois, let alone much of the Midwest. Although in general, we do not expect any kind of major rain system, i.e. the majority of the Midwest receiving rainfall, but this looks to be more of a minor event. Beyond that, really the next opportunity for rainfall will take place during the first half of next week as another frontal boundary slowly pushes across the Midwest.
How much coverage, how much rainfall do you think out of this particular system?
We expect for this immediate one here over the next several days to produce around 40% coverage of amounts ranging from a quarter of an inch on the light side to around an inch, inch and a quarter on the heavier side. But as I stated before, it's more of a minor event with only 40% coverage. It looks at this time that the more significant rain event will be with next week's system.
And then if you take a look at the soil surface, the surface maps, things are pretty dry across the state of Illinois. How about other parts of the world?
Well, Todd, the lack of rainfall across Illinois this month has extended eastward into parts of Indiana, Ohio, and even some areas of southern Michigan. So Illinois is not the only one that has seen dry weather this month, but much of the eastern Midwest and in fact, across the whole Midwest, the eastern areas have been dry, while the western areas have been on the wet side, especially western Iowa and Nebraska. But at least coming up for those areas in the east to get a little boost of soil moisture, you have your one opportunity here over the next 48 hours. But it looks like the more significant one at this time looks to be with next week's.
Anything we can draw as conclusive from the drier weather that we've had as far as an indication as we hit into the summer months?
Not really, Todd. And, you know, at this time of year, really, the drier that you are, the better, at least from a planning standpoint. And obviously, that has helped allow for rapid planting here over the past several weeks, especially across the eastern sections. But when you do a strict, you know, correlation, there really isn't between, you know, spring precip and summer precipitation here. And we're talking about June, July, and August. There really isn't anything that definitive or strong that signals anything.
And all in all, are we really out of the norms, or have we just moved from what was a pretty wet regime to a fairly dry one?
Well, as is the case typically with Mother Nature, the weather continues to be variable, and certainly what we've seen over the past 6 to 12 months is actually we have seen at least more extreme variability, both on the temperature side of the equation, but also from a precipitation standpoint, too. And over time, things do tend to average out, but certainly the pendulum has been swinging to both sides here recently.
We appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. Visit our website. Make sure you sign up for that weekend newsletter. Until tomorrow, I'm Todd Gleason.